What's up, bitches?
Was very good movie. Lex Luthor, obviously gay. Prototype, stereotype.
Prototype gay?
The whole movie was political analogy for oppression of homosexuals. There you go.
Cut that in your outtakes somewhere.
Send your complaints to Daryl at transmissionspodcast.com.
Am I still riding shotgun?
Yeah.
She can...
Women are supposed to lean in.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the YoshiCast. This is Yoshi.
This is Bo.
This is...
Kathleen.
Kathleen is the one of us who married the Bo. And
she's my plus one, I apologize.
And actually has sex with Bo, right?
I don't know what I was thinking.
You swallow? I just, you know... So I can send this to your mom later.
She picks up what I'm putting.
People don't care about this, but I do. Alright. She's not going to answer.
She's a gentleman.
A lady never tells. Not that I'm a lady.
Okay, so we just walked out of Batman versus Superman. It's a little
in
late.
How many dimensions?
Oh, God.
Fucking three.
The third fucking shit dimension.
Okay, let's bitch about this for a while, because I literally saw nothing interesting about the 3D. The
no.
coolest thing I noticed was the burning embers of the city. Sorry, that might be a spoiler alert. There's the embers.
Oh, and the Batman recap, I would say.
The recap?
The Batman.
Oh, his
origin
childhood.
Story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The
recap
pearls.
Recap that we have to see on every
The pearl necklace
movie
of his mommy.
That has anything to
yeah,
do with
what's
Batman.
Yeah, but what's his face
we
played?
We don't already know it already. No, we must get it rehashed.
I can never think of the guy's name, but the guy who played Bruce Wayne's dad.
The guy from Watchmen?
Yeah.
The comedian.
Comedian from Watchmen. Fucking great actor. Love him. And
he had like one line?
Yeah, that's fine.
Martha.
But to get back on the 3D thing, I felt like 2 minutes into the movie, like my brain just quit processing it as a 3D film.
Yeah, there were a couple of times, and it always drives me crazy when something is close to the camera and out of focus in 3D. That like drives my brain a little nutty.
Right. And to everybody listening, we fucking hate 3D. But in Juno, they make it so that all the popular times you'd want to see your favorite film that's out, you are forced to see the 3D version.
I'm going
to
add a little something screen. Because the screens in Juno are smaller, so if it was like surround vision or like the screen were so big you couldn't see it in your peripherals, the edges of the screen in your peripheral, then the 3D experience I think would be better. But because you can see literally the box, anything that looks 3D, the illusion is immediately broken as soon as whatever that is crosses the path of the window. So it's more like, oh, I'm looking in a window as opposed to I'm immersed in the experience. Plus, those of us who wear glasses have to endure the double glasses, which is never fun.
You look really good in double glasses. I'm just going to throw this out here. You're really pretty and we should date and you're hot and I love you.
I'm still saying double glasses is a shitty movie going experience.
Way to stay.
I shoved my glasses so far into my eyeballs that I'm never sure whether or not I'm going to like actually start poking my eyeballs out or, you know, be able to continue watching the movie.
Way to stay on topic, Kathleen.
Done.
All right.
I'm done with my 3D rant.
Okay, so fucking 3D sucks.
And it's expensive.
And it's expensive. And it sucks.
Although I think their glasses have gotten better. They don't seem as flimsy as before.
Yeah.
It's still shit.
Yeah, no.
I end up stealing them every single time because they go in a pocket.
All right, Bo, as the one person on the planet that knows more about comics than me. what was your take on Batman versus Superman?
Yeah, my take on Batman in Batman versus Superman. That's what the question is?
Yeah.
At present. I didn't mind seeing the origin story since they got it over with rather fast in the opening credit sequence. I guess that's a spoiler. Fuck, I just ruined everything.
Not really. Every Batman movie. Just saying.
Every Batman movie rehashes the origin story. And they got it over with pretty fast. It was just the opening credits. So I didn't mind it. it wasn't the best Batman origin little flashes, but it wasn't terrible.
The trailer I found very misleading after seeing the film.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought, I mean, there were it kind of gets into the big problem with the film. It's like there are really cool moments, but those were like beats, and then there'd just be this weird side thing to set up another thing for, like, it would just sort of hit a really cool moment, and then they'd have to grind away and build up this side plot so that it could be important later, and then start all over again with the cool moment. Like, the cool moment I really liked from this was Alfred giving Batman shit about what he was able to accomplish as Bruce Wayne. I'm trying not to spoil. Alfred gives Bruce Wayne shit about what he was able to accomplish as Bruce Wayne versus what he was able to accomplish as Batman, if you'll recall.
I do.
If you know what I'm talking about.
We were sitting together.
Well, the hand job did stop at times, so I'm not sure how much attention you were paying.
Only when the guys weren't on screen.
I thought that was really cool. I think Batman gets a little too easily manipulated into sort of a vengeance. And ultimately that was for the cool scenes of the smacky smack. Which were cool, but I think the motivation got a little fucky. And that's all I'll say for that.
Okay.
Kathleen,
yeah.
Any Batman thoughts?
Without spoiling anything.
I think I agree with Bo that I felt like it was like, you're the super detective. Why can't you figure out that you're being, you know, led down a path, so to speak?
Totally manipulated.
But, you know, other than that, I did think that he is kind of the guy who, other than that specific part, there were a lot of other parts where it was like he thinks his way through stuff. Although I also will say that, oh my god, Batman used a gun. That's no good. There was, as in The Man of Steel, there were many deaths of people.
But you didn't see them.
You didn't see them, but it doesn't matter. You know that people died for no apparent reason. Anyway, it's just sort of like, all right, apparently we just, in these films, the spectacle has been overwrought in all the other movies, blah, 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 so now we need to have, like, crazy, what, anyway.
Buildings falling over.
Yeah, buildings falling over, cars exploding, cars getting chopped in half, people getting thrown through fire, anyway. I always felt that, like, Batman captured the crooks who couldn't get captured and would leave them for the police to find, and if they were just your Joe Schmo criminal on the street, or, you know, your mobstery, gangy kinds, and then would really, really go after the freaks who were just too crazy for the normal cops to kind of take care of. So, that's me.
I did like seeing the Batman in action, because there's the part where you see him in action not in regards to Superman.
Yes.
In the first half. And he was kind of awesome, right? We saw that sequence from the police perspective.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Creepy.
I liked how he snuck around.
Yeah.
I like how they were terrified of him. I like how he didn't engage the good guys. I didn't actually mind the branding, because that was just kind of cool.
Spoiler.
There's actually the picture in the trailer of a branding. I did like, in the third act, you get to see Batman be a total badass again.
Yeah.
True.
And that was really cool. And you got to see the Batsuit in complete action. That was kind of awesome.
Yes.
Now you say something about Batman.
Without giving away any spoilers, which we will give away spoilers, but okay. The actor they have for Batman
did a fine job.
The actor they have for Alfred,
I liked him.
Fine job. The actress they have for Wonder Woman.
I did a great job.
Did a great job. The actor for Superman.
Did a lot better job than last time. I don't know if he did a great job, but he did a lot better of a job.
Here's the thing. Like, every version of Superman we've had since Christopher Reeves hasn't met, in my mind, that expectation. That whereas Batman has had a lot of actors
of Batman.
that could pull the part off, and a couple that couldn't. But well, super, I don't.
Now, do you actually let's go down this topic just for a hint? Do you actually give Clooney shit for being a bad Batman? Because I think he was just an okay bat. He was an okay Batman. The movie was just a complete shit. Like you can't turn a shit sandwich into something that's not a shit sandwich.
I can't take Clooney in that role seriously. I just can't. I can't take him or Val Kilmer in that role seriously.
I actually think Val Kilmer did fine a couple of times. Like, there were some decent Val Kilmer Batman. It probably wasn't Val Kilmer at the time. But when he, like, jumps in on the Two-Face party, that was a decent Batman fight sequence. That was kind of badass. But I don't actually give Val Kilmer or Clooney shit for it, because those scripts were fucking horrible. The villains were retarded. Everyone was just trying to redo the insanity of Tim Burton without a decent script. And so it was just a mess.
Yeah. So as far as Superman goes, like, I think that... is it Harvey Keitel? Or?
Harvey... It's something Caviezel. Harvey...
Mr. Harvey. you know, he's...
He's got the look.
He's the closest to... Christopher Reeves, I think we've got.
I think Brandon Roth did a fine job. He just had a shit sandwich for his.
That could very well be the case. I think people wanted to embrace Brandon.
He looked great.
Yeah, the part.
And I think he acted fine. And the, you know, like the 2 seconds you see him as Clark Kent, he did great as Clark Kent. But they just like nerfed Clark Kent out of the script because they were trying to tell 3 different Superman stories at the same time. And retell the first Superman movie at the same time.
I don't care for the Lex Luthor acting.
Oh my god!
You know, and the way they're getting away with that is it's not Lex Luthor; it's his kid. And
you think so?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh well, Lex Luthor has always been the son of some guy.
But I don't care for. I just don't care for this interpretation of Lex.
Oh my god! I literally, the whole movie, just wanted to walk up to the guy, grab his shoulders, and push them down from his neck. Did you see that? The whole movie, his shoulders were at his ears.
We either need to keep driving or park.
I can do both, bitch.
Okay. So with that said, I feel like, with the exception of Lex, these actors / actresses can hold their own.
Yeah.
I felt the story was shit.
I think it almost needed to be like 2 movies.
It needed to be 5.
Wow.
I mean, it took... Okay, I'm going to say now, we're going to start going into spoiler territory, but essentially, there were roughly between 3 and 5 solid comic book stories crammed into this movie.
Absolutely.
From that we've all read.
Yep.
That they morphed, fucked, and raped to get what we just watched. And, like I said, the elements are there. You got great actors doing these parts. But it was like somebody high up at Warner Brothers / DC said, you know, Doomsday was such a great storyline. And
/ it sold really well.
Right. The Dark Knight Returns was such a great story. The only thing that could possibly make this better is if we crammed them all together and made it one storyline. And
we get the prize at the bottom of the Cracker Jack barrel.
There were elements of this movie that were good. There were moments of this movie that were very enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
As a whole...
But they were split.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think I was trying to hit that earlier, but I wasn't saying it very well. But it was like, it would get to a good moment, and then it would, like, shift and have to, like, give you the intro and, like, go through this side plot, because that's going to be important later. And then it would hit a cool moment, and then it would jump to another. It was like a bunch of cool parts.
Park, like, a block away so we don't piss the
ball. Well, I was just going to... been around.
Okay.
I was just gonna keep going.
That's cool. That's totally cool.
it's like pulling like the best lyrics from a bunch of different rock songs,
yeah,
and just slapping them together.
That is a fantastic analogy.
And then you get like the hope for the one good song to pull out of there,
mm-hmm,
but really you just get kind of a shit melody.
Okay, biggest spoiler alert. Batman wins. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Do you know what I thought was actually...
Anytime you add Doomsday, I'm sorry. Like, you don't need to spoiler that. Anybody who knows anything about Superman and knows anything about Doomsday know what happened Superman's in that freaking story.
Okay, but in the cartoon of Batman and in the movies of Batman, Bane is Batman's Doomsday.
Yeah.
And with the exception of the comic book... has no time Bane successfully broken the bat.
In the movies?
In the movies. Yeah, they do the motion, but he just gets up from it. He's not fucking
paralyzed. No, he was paralyzed for a while.
Had to, like, climb out of the freaking thing.
Where am I missing this?
The Dark Knight trilogy.
Yeah.
He was thrown in the pit. And he was crippled.
Yeah,
right. And he had to reset his back with poor people and then climb out. It was bullshit. It wasn't good.
No.
It was kind of bullshit.
So we're on to Doomsday and spoilers, yes?
Yeah.
We're into spoiler territory. Can I just say
real quick about
Superman? Because I feel like, yes, the actor did a decent job. But all the actors did a decent job. The thing that I think is interesting about the Superman in terms of the way they've been treating it is that, like, most stories start with him having a pretty good idea of who he is and what he's setting himself out to do and what he's trying to be to the world, correct?
Yep.
And, like, in this storyline, because I just watched Man of Steel last night because I hadn't actually seen it all the way through, so it's pretty fresh in my memory, and now I've just followed it up with this. So it's very much sort of like Superman doesn't know who he is or what he is or how he's supposed to relate to the world, and we're going to really keep hounding that whole idea throughout these two movies of, like, you know, first one, Man of Steel, it's all, oh, I don't know who I am, oh, I'm this alien, oh, I'm from this place called Krypton, oh my God, these other people are coming, am I one of them, am I an Earth, you know, am I of Earth now,
yeah,
what do I stand up for, oh my God, teen angst, even though I'm not a teenager anymore. So it's, and now, like, this is sort of just a continuation of that, where it's like, you don't know them anything, Clark. And yeah, what do we do,
that's,
you know?
That's, like, really shitty line for a mom to say. Like, just let the world fucking die, Clark. Nobody gives a shit.
Well, no, I mean, it's like, I get what they're trying to say, because I think throughout, you know, so many of the other movies, it's like, he's like a god, and isn't this great?
And he's
like, wonderful and perfect all the time. And this, they're like, oh, actually, he's like a human. He is human. He makes human mistakes. Oh, no, look at poor Clark's struggle as he tries to figure out how to, you know, live with what he...
destiny.
What he is and how he is and still, you know, interact and be a part of society and blah, 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 blah. So I think that they keep, like, trying to hammer that so much. Unfortunately, which is kind of a cool idea, but unfortunately they do it to such a degree and with so, like, both of these movies have so little humor and so little any sort of, like, I mean, they try to have so much heart, but they kind of fall short just a little bit.
They're too confused about what they are.
Yeah, yeah. So then it just ends up being sort of like this mishmash of emotions, much like teen angst. And, like, you're left going, huh, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel. Like, I know I was supposed to feel like triumph, and I was supposed to feel like whatever, but I didn't quite get there.
I do believe.
It didn't pull on my heartstrings.
I do believe.
Like, I know they really wanted me to.
Right.
I enjoyed myself, but it didn't go deep.
I really think that that's fallout from the DC lawsuit.
52.
Yeah, in the new 52. Like, I don't... And since they've won that case...
They got kryptonite back.
Right. Now, they've, like, dug themselves such a hole that if they tuck tail and turn around and go back, they'd just be admitting a fuck-up, and then they'd be even further behind Marvel.
It'd just be another reboot of the whole...
Right, but, dear God, I'm okay with that.
You'd rather have a reboot?
Oh, yeah. But then have to suffer through a Justice League that's going to resemble the last two DC films? Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think the Suicide Squad... I still have hope for the Suicide Squad with how good Batman was. That could
see, and I kind of... I'm looking at Suicide Squad is like, to me, and I'm sure I'm wrong, but right now, to me, Suicide Squad is a lot like Deadpool in the sense that it's a standalone thing that they will never incorporate in the main DC universe.
Except it has this Batman in it.
Except for hints, And Deadpool did the same thing. It had hints.
But don't underestimate those hints, because hints like that in Iron Man are what pulled together the entire Marvel cinematic universe.
It's true.
That's true, but nobody expected Iron Man to always be a standalone, where I think I feel like Suicide Squad and its sequels will still be a majority standalone.
I think you're misremembering. People expected Iron Man to do kind of well, but Iron Man's not a major league gamer. He's always a second-tier character in the Marvel Universe compared to Spider-Man, compared to the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
So, Iron Man, one of the reasons they were able to make that movie is because they didn't sell the rights to that movie. Marvel didn't, in the 90s, when they were trying to make capital cash flow realistic. So that's why Fox didn't own it. So they sprinkled those things in there, I think, for love of it. And the director knew that the film was going to be good because he put his heart into it and it was fucking awesome. But I don't think Marvel had all of its ducks in a row. They got all of its ducks in a row and were like, shit, this made a lot of money. Let's keep going down this road that you've paved.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was as direct a line from Iron Man to where we got to now. Although now it's fucking concrete with skyscrapers on both sides. Turning into Disney World, the road that they're going on.
Right.
Which is great. Fucking, I like it. But let's get back to this movie.
This heaping pile.
And we are past the spoiler zone. So, one moment that I really liked that demonstrated maturity that very few superhero movies do is during the Batman versus Superman confrontation. Superman just shows up, actually realizing what's going on, and says, "I'm sorry, Batman. Let's do what we need to do together." And that is a maturity that we rarely see. Although it was I think he kind of got there a little too fast. And he should have just punched Lex Luthor in the gut and then gone and apologized to Batman. But having an action superhero say, "I'm sorry, you were right, let's go do something else," like, I don't see that in films ever.
No.
In the comic books, sure. But in films, it's always about who can punch the hardest, which is why Batman came off as a little too vengeancey, because all Superman had to do is, like, give him a bro hug and be like, "Let's not fight, bro. Let's go save the world. Let's be excellent to each other."
I think this is going to be an echo. Like, there are times, aspects, and points in this movie that are really good.
Uh-huh.
As a whole, it's a piece of shit.
Yeah, it's not...
I would say it's a piece of shit. I would say
it's just not a well-made play. You know, like, the structure.
The thread that's trying to bind it all together is loose and fraying in places, and therefore, as you're following your way through it, you get kind of caught by these little loose ends that you're like, and it's not, I don't mean loose ends like loose ends and plot holes. I mean just sort of like the way that the movie flowed.
Yeah,
it didn't have a very good flow. So there were these rocky points that left you going, wait.
Right.
Was that important? Was that important? Like, why the hell are we seeing this? Why the hell does Batman continue to have, like, crazy nightmares that sort of have something to do with the plot, but mostly are just there to mislead you?
Yeah.
And have you go like, oh my god, is this really happening?
Yeah. And I kind of, thinking about it now, I almost wish they
just... What the fuck was with the dude and the lightning? Like, what the fuck? That had nothing probably, to do with anything unless they're going to add it into a plot later. Like, that's
probably a future Flash or some dude I don't know. Because there's like, you know, time police in the DC universe, and I don't fucking know.
Oh, I took that guy as the Flash.
Yeah. He's like the future Flash traveling, because versions of the Flash can travel so fast they can go through time.
Okay, right. Right.
I viewed that as Future Flash coming back to warn Bruce.
But it was like Future Flash. It looked like Future Flash wearing the bat suit.
Kind of like bat tech armor. But he wasn't in reality. He was in Bruce's dream, and I don't. Unless there's some Martian Manhunter shit going down that I don't quite get, because Martian Manhunter uses like mental shit he projects into your brain.
Right.
So that could be going down. I don't know. They never brought up Martian Manhunter though.
I did notice in the dream sequence in the desert where Batman was, it was kind of a post-apocalyptic future.
Yeah, with like the whole like Omega symbol carved into.
That's
the
like
desert.
His worst nightmare. It's trying to make you be on his side.
Not apocalyptic future, dark side.
Dark side. But at the very end, where the guy comes down and smashes Batman's back, did you catch that reference? The guy that smashed him. Looked exactly like in the comic book when Doomsday is first introduced and still wrapped up in the green cloak and the thing. I caught that. I thought that was a neat little nod.
Oh.
Nothing that will save this film, but a neat little nod.
I think they're all just supposed to be Darkseid's minions. So that's probably why I didn't pick that up. But yeah. And I think the film would just be better if they picked a main character. I think that's the problem. It's almost Batman, but then you see entire sections of story from Lois's point of view. Mm-hmm. Then you see entire sections of story from Superman's point of view. Like, they needed, like...
Yeah, and you don't see hardly any sections of story from Wonder Woman. She's just sort of, like, thrown in there. Like, a little splash of color.
But she was awesome.
A cool thing at battle at the end. But because, I wasn't saying she's not awesome. I'm just
because
sort of like,
she was
sort of
so
like,
limited, they didn't like fuck over her story.
It's true. It's true.
She just kind of isn't.
How did that affect you? Because I noticed as soon as she came out and saved Batman, you scooched forward.
Well, you know, that actually had nothing to do with, like, what I was doing and more to do with the fact that my butt hurts.
Oh, okay.
So I had to keep switching my position in order to keep the butt hurt from down.
It's worth noting that when she entered and kicked ass for, like, 15 minutes, there was cheering throughout that segment. Rightfully so. Like I said, there are times where this movie is really cool.
But it's almost in sections that should be like, it should just continue that section in one movie. And then,
yeah.
because there was the whole, like, in the desert Superman story where he saves Lois, right?
Yeah.
And that leads to the bomb in Congress, essentially. Like, that should be a story. But they just kind of like zip through it to get to somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was all like the Superman's kind of on trial almost, and then like, now we're done with that, now we're moving on to, actually it was all set up by Lex Luthor, and oh look, oh by the way, Doomsday, here you go, final act.
I really
last
did like how
20 minutes
fucking huge Doomsday was. I liked that, when he just like Superman is punching him.
No, it totally should have been.
When Superman's like punching him in the gut and Doomsday just grabs his entire body and like smashes him around, that was kind of awesome. Although his absorbing of energy was a little bit...
For a DC version of the Hulk, you turned out really well. You know,
Hulk Ninja Turtles bone armor.
And you know, they do the same. They did the one thing that every kid thinks, like, all right, Doomsday's just going to get bigger and more stronger than Superman. Why doesn't Superman just take him out into space? And he did that.
He did do that.
You know, and not too late into the fight where you're like, okay, this is stupid.
Yeah.
It was early enough.
It was early enough until,
at least,
of course,
they didn't
he
do
got nuked.
Like, I think it was the Superman animated version of the Doomsday. He beats Doomsday by taking him up into space and then flying him back down into Earth.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't do that, because that would have been more of just Metropolis just exploding.
Yeah.
His absorbing of energy kind of bugged me. And it's fine. I get it. Like, if he's absorbing nuclear weapons, if he's absorbing laser beams, heat vision, like, I can sort of, in my sci-fi brain, get that he's absorbing, turning, like, heat or radiation into his own energy. I have a real hard problem, because every time Superman punched him anywhere, there would be that red glowing shit, and that would be him absorbing kinetic energy, and that fucking pissed me off.
Right.
And Wonder Woman cutting him with a sword, he was absorbing that energy. There is...
But everything Wonder Woman did to him was tactile. What's the word?
Tactical.
Tactical.
She was smart as fuck.
She was smart as fuck. Obviously somebody who's very well trained. All three of those guys, Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman, had such distinct fighting styles.
That was great.
You know, Batman was...
Just poning.
He was poning, normals. But he's not poned like that before. He's clearly fighting like an older guy that's pure muscle and has lost his speed.
But then he uses his brains to make up for it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, using his toys and his tools to kind of, like, compensate by doing things like grappling, hooking off of buildings,
and
kind of leading the guy astray.
And there was a fucking moment that I love from Batman's perspective. He was watching Superman and Wonder Woman punch the shit out of Doomsday and just, like, rubble flying everywhere, and Batman's just like, where the fuck do I
fit? Yeah.
And it's not, you don't hear him say that, he's not thinking that, but I felt that from his point of view. It's just like, I could distract him for a second. After having just kicked Superman's ass, he just looks at that and just goes, what do I do?
It was also very obvious that they were saying, oh, it's a good thing this building is empty.
Or, oh, my God.
Or it's a good thing we've evacuated the city or whatever.
Good thing we crashed into Staten Island. It's evacuated.
There's no one there.
Everybody in this film killed an innocent. All right? There's no walking away from this film and thinking, okay, everybody walked. No. People died. People
Wonder
died.
Wonder Woman, I don't think, killed anybody. She saved people. I don't think...
She pretty much just joined the fight in that one little area.
Yeah. Which was an abandoned island.
Yeah. But Batman definitely kills people when he goes tries to get the kryptonite.
Oh, my God.
Aquaman should have saved Lois Lane.
Right? That whole pool sequence.
I was like, are we going to see Aquaman?
That should have done it.
Okay. So going to that same scene now, too, since we're in the spoiler section. So she throws the spear into the fucking water, right?
To get it away.
And then she goes to get it, right? Yeah. And then, like, she nearly drowns. He pulls her out. Superman pulls her out. Then he goes to get the fucking spear. And then he nearly drowns because he touches the spear. But then somehow, magically, even though he nearly drowned, just touching it to get it out of the water, he can fly with the fucking spear for like, I don't know,
I was
football length of field. Like that hole wasn't that deep.
What's the show? The Seven Deadly Sins? That anime we watched?
Yeah.
Remember the spear throw, like in the beginning of that? Like he fucking throws the spear like three cities.
Oh yeah.
And like carves Nick and dude's face. Because the dude just barely gets out of the way. I was expecting kind of that kind of a moment from Superman where he just...
But
you gotta show maximum effort on his face as he flies and goes, I'm taking a poop.
he has to get close enough to Doomsday to get pwned, but still, I was a little bit like, I am suspending my disbelief quite heavily now that you would nearly drown pulling that out of a puddle, but now you're okay to fly.
Superman,
you know,
always does that. There's always
half a city block.
Always an overreaction to kryptonite. There's always I just killed you with kryptonite. And then there's like, oh, but I really want to be strong so I can overpower kryptonite.
Maybe this is the comic book guy in me, but when Batman and Superman have their second fight, where Batman's prepared for it. Where he's an Iron Man. and we get to the point where Superman's like, don't get up. I could have killed you if I wanted to. And maybe this is the comic book guy, I mean, but that whole time it felt like Batman was assessing Superman.
I felt that too.
Are you kidding? Batman had the whole fight. All of that was tactical.
Like, yeah.
Because they end up in the room where he has the spear.
Right.
So, at any point, if Batman wins, he'd just be like, okay, I guess I don't have to go down the floor with my next trap. So, he was actually absolutely analyzing.
And the only thing that would have clenched that, which would have solidified that, is when he handed the encrypted... Fuck, we're going to talk about that in a second. When he handed the encrypted files over to Deanna, and everybody was there but Superman, like, he should have added a Superman directory. And he didn't.
Maybe he did.
Okay, so...
Yeah, but those were Lex's files, not his.
Batman breaks breaks into Lex's home.
And those are metahumans, not
steals anyway. Steals all of his data in 7 minutes. Okay. Using military grade encryption. Okay. Then he takes it to the back computer, and without even the humorous attempt of entering in a password, it's just decrypting.
I actually laughed because it was like 1% decrypted, shot of bat,
right?
Batman. 2% decrypted, shot of Batman. Yeah. 3% decrypted, shot of
and
Batman.
And then that's where the flash comes
in. And then you fall asleep. Yeah.
But that's not how you would decrypt. Oh.
But you're not even laughing at the putting two iPhones next to each other and
No, because that is actually possible. Oh, really? That's not something that's bullshit. The bullshit came in with the computer just automatically started decrypt. Well, you have to have the key to decrypt. The computer didn't even try to feign a fake key. And also, this is just the nerd in me, but the visuals, the computer interfaces, the shit Alfred was using to tell Batman or Bruce Wayne which way to go, that looked like horse shit, man. That just all looked terrible and confusing and bad.
A little bit, but I
again,
it wasn't enough screen time to bug me. But I'm not a computer pro like you.
It was. I'm not a pro.
If I want to hack the universe, I'm calling you.
Here's the thing.
Hack the planet.
Every time you look through a computer using Jarvis,
there's shit there and it's organized.
Yeah. You look through it in the DC universe and your head hurts.
Well, in the DC universe, Batman always just has like a gigantic screen that does everything for him. So I wasn't that pissed off about it. But
okay.
Well, that computer is like one massive wall of a
screen. I've seen a lot of computer movies, and a lot of computer, almost all of them are horrible, but right. At least they feign some sort of, this is how the process could work.
Right.
This just went, this cut out A and B steps and went right to C.
Gotcha. I am bad at those things.
I'm bothered by those things.
I almost hacked your phone, though.
Yes, by hitting random buttons and going beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop.
I didn't make the right noises, but I was close.
No.
Okay, let's go through... I think we only indirectly talked about Wonder Woman. I thought she was awesome, but then again...
Okay, well, here's the thing.
The less she's in the plot lines, the sort of better she looks, because there's more to fill in with whatever you want.
Correct. Okay, so... Honey, you're gonna hate your wife, but
God damn it.
Is Wonder Woman immortal? Is that in the comic book?
She is damn close. She's okay. Not like she can die.
Sure, but she's been living for a long time. Damn, so the whole, near, like, 1918 thing is
damn
like,
near ageless.
Okay. Great.
So it's usually why she ends up hooking up with Superman.
Because he's also damn near ageless. But sure. I was just making sure because I was
And we were discussing there were rumors that the whole Athenians Amazonians were Kryptonians on Earth.
Kryptonian descendants from the ship that landed and was buried in the
And if they are, they definitely didn't go into that, which I'm happy about, because that would have been a whole, like,
well, there were too many little weird subplots and like little crumbs laid everywhere
which is probably why I think she's such a goddamn gem, because every line she delivered great. She showed up from her point of view, she had a mission, she accomplished them, and then she went back to do more because shit got fucked up.
Although I have to say, like, every
and when she showed up, she fucking
wore.
Showed up. And she had Holy a fucking shit. Lasso of truth. That was rad. I was not expecting a lasso.
How does she... I am bothered that she stole the 7-minute drive of infinite storage and broke into Bruce Wayne's car. That really bothered me, both of those things. And it's not that it happened that it bothered me, but I feel like that Bruce Wayne should have at least caught it in the act both times. I just felt like, you know, God, you're not much of a detective.
But Bruce Wayne's only been doing this for one lifetime. Diana's been doing it for hundreds of years.
I wasn't able to break the military grade encryption. That's because you were using a Dell. That's because you were using a Dell.
She's using a Commodore. Um, I will say this. They threw in Doomsday and they killed Superman. So they at least used the tool for what it's designed for. They put a hammer in the film and they hit a nail.
And this,
so I'm
and
glad.
They ended with him still dead. I was like, I kept waiting. I was like, so are they going to like shoot him into the sun?
If I remember the comic book correctly, though.
3 days of sunlight is all he needed.
Clark Kent goes missing.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Wait, 3 days?
Yes.
Seriously?
It was very messianic.
Oh, God.
Clark Kent just went missing in the comic book. Clark Superman was actually buried in a monument like they showed in the movie. Where in the movie, he's physically buried in Smallville.
Clark Kent is buried in Smallville. Superman is buried in a monument.
There's nothing in there. It's a dummy.
In Superman.
In the movie. In this movie.
In the Superman, yes, there's nothing in the Superman monument. Which actually became a thing with when he came back is 3 days later they found that there wasn't a body.
Yeah.
But it was like some crypto... it gets really complicated.
Well, yeah, it does.
But I believe it's like a Kryptonian scientist who survived, like stole his body because he knew he wasn't dead and helped to revive him. And that's why he was always in that black suit with the silver S, because that suit was like helping him absorb more sunlight somehow. But then before he actually had enough powers to actually show back up, there were like 15 other Supermans on the scene.
What?
There was like Steel.
I don't think it was 15. There was like 4.
There's Steel. There was Superboy.
Cyborg Superman.
There's Cyborg Superman.
What?
Yeah, John Hinckley.
That's Steel.
No, I thought also didn't Cyborg Superman have that kind of a name? Hanky or Hinckley?
I don't know.
It really doesn't matter. Look, I'm not buying the Blu-ray. That's what this came down to. There's no after credits thing either.
Do you know what that's a Marvel thing.
No, there was. Bullshit.
Yeah, no, sorry. We're going to fix this.
Okay. We stayed through the credits hoping that there would just be a little tease, because there was a bit of a cock tease right before the credits.
Yeah.
So we stayed like about 50 other patrons did all the way through the credits and read all the funny little names of all the funny visual effects artists. And there wasn't a cinematography moment portrayed on the screen.
Right.
However, a citizen of this world in which we live in stood up in the front row, pointed at the screen, and said, "You see that right there? That's what happens if you elect Donald Trump."
It made waiting for it worth it.
That was worth the price of admission.
Yes. Yeah, that made up for the movie, honestly.
Batman kicking ass made up for a lot of it.
All right. Juno fucking shit theater. The trailers are...
The Avengers?
Captain America. Civil War.
Civil War.
The first trailer.
The first trailer.
Not the second
not the Spidey trailer.
Then it's... what was the other superhero one?
I'm trying to remember too. Oh, Teenage Mutant.
Yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first trailer.
The first trailer again, yeah.
Ghostbusters.
The same trailer.
And there was something else. There was another one.
Oh, it was X-Men.
Yeah, X-Men.
And the
first trailer.
First trailer.
What the you can update it to play Ghostbusters, but not the other trailers that came out before Ghostbusters? Fuck you.
Well,
that was pretty
there's
bad.
No well. That's just negligence and laziness.
Now.
Yeah.
And we are trailer trashing right now.
That's right. That's what the segment is.
Trailer trashing.
Trailer trashing.
Wow.
You can't justify it, Kathleen, but go ahead. Try.
I'm not going to try and justify it. I'm just going to say I don't know if, like, the movie theater itself has any say over what previews get played before a movie. I think that might have to do with the studios a little bit.
You know what? Why would any studio
play older trailers?
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. So that logic
I don't know. Maybe
defunct.
They've got some weird thing where they're like, you can only see the more extended, cooler trailers online. We want to create a viral presence, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But
they created a virus so that I'll never go to that movie again.
You? That's just me. I don't know. I give him the benefit of the doubt, but yeah.
I would have liked to have heard
I was missing Spider-Man.
There was the hint at the Joker killed Robin, but there was literally nothing more in the film than the trailers.
The trailers implied that there was more related to the Joker, but it's not.
And the Joker, the trailer successfully did that by putting the two Joker moments like back to back, and they were not back to back in the film.
Right.
The dead Robin suit with the writing on it, and the "You let your family die."
Yeah. Ooh, the whole Martha thing I thought was really well done. Not well done, but good.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
It hit home. Although Batman was just so angry in that fight, and I always think of Batman as a cool, rational fighter. Like if you were fighting Batman, he would want you to think that he was furious, but you would actually never make him furious.
This is where I say the whole like sense? Emotional tenure of the movie is like, you know, with Superman being all soul searching and like, well, am I the good guy? What do I do to be good in this world? How do I react to the world that's like, we want you, we don't want you, oh my god. And like Batman is kind of going through his own little like weird thing of like, oh, I'm this person who stops all this crime, but in the face of this other thing, I'm totally powerless. My building totally came down, and half of my employees all died, but there's nothing I could do, even though I'm this like, you know, vigilante justice blah blah blah.
I thought that felt really cool in those moments, but it never panned into anything.
Yes, yes. Like that's exactly what it is. Like all these little emotional moments, they hit home in a tiny moment, but they never really like culminated into anything. They were just these little like sparks.
Like I felt Batman's powerlessness.
But you never got like the final fire that would come out of that would leave you kind of like lit up at the end of the movie and just like, wow, you know, I really went through something. It was just sort of like, oh, I saw these little like pops of stuff that happened that I kind of were like, in that moment that was cool, but then yeah, they don't string together. They are like Martha's pearls scattered across the pavement.
Her pearl
never
necklace
unstrung and notched
together.
Oozing
down her chest.
It also would have helped a lot, I think. The whole movie is so fucking visually dark. Like, literally low lighting. Like,
but that's a feature of this guy. You saw the Superman Man of Steel with color?
Yeah.
That was fucking awesome.
But that was done because the guy who put that together said they actually filmed it to be a bright film. And it was Warner Brothers, because of the success of Nolan, wanted it to be dark.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So, and this film just felt like it was filmed purposely all dark now because Zach lost that fight. That's part, you know.
There were moments of color in the
New 52 just fucked everybody. Fucked everybody. And we probably will not live long enough for them to fix that. That's really a depressing thought. I mean, there's going to be so many superhero movies after we die.
I'm going to live forever, bro.
Oh, well.
I'm going to upload to the Matrix.
All right, Raz.
Wants to suck my penis.
Yeah, you didn't answer the original question of the podcast, which is, do you swallow?
A lady never tells.
Because she's too busy spitting?
What?
I'm asking.
And I'm telling.
Yeah.
That a lady never
honestly,
tells.
Honestly, I feel a little bit bad for this generation of kids. Because when I was a fucking kid in the 80s, one of the coolest experiences was seeing goddamn Superman, Christopher Reeve, on the screen. You know he's gonna win. You know he's always gonna fight for what's right. Everything is good. Things are beautiful. And Superman can fucking fly. Right?
Yeah.
This Superman flying is like nothing. Fucking Batman flies in this. Oh my god, that was retarded.
You know what? It is definitely not a film I would want.
Well, and nobody knows whether they're good or not, and we're all so angsty about it, and everything has like, you know, which is
only
like,
Lois Lane knows the difference between right or wrong, and she literally is creating Superman into being Superman. Although he is saying that it's his father who told him not to be Superman is the reason he's Superman. It's fucking confusing.
It's stupid. It's fucking stupid. It's not a film I would want kids to see.
I would literally do like what people do with the Star Wars films. It's like you start with A New Hope, and then you watch the prequels after that.
Yeah.
Because I would do that with the Christopher Reeve Supermans, because a kid should watch Christopher Reeve Supermans. Mm-hmm. they shouldn't watch this film.
Same with comics. Like, that's where they should start. Like, it's just, it's not only would I not want kids to see this film, I don't want them to own the toys.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, there is, I could not, you know, I would just like, if my kid came home with something like that, I would just shake my head like, fuck, I fucked up.
Superman's supposed to be brighter blue.
You're supposed to have a belt of yellow and
underwear on the outside.
Underoos. And it's not that you can make it,
because we have left the age.
We live in an age of Deadpool being awesome, and R-rated superhero movies are going to become a thing. That
but
movie
the kids
could,
don't go to that.
But
which
that
is fine.
That movie could be R-rated and could still be good, and kids could still enjoy it. But I knew going into it I'd be disappointed, but I hoped going into it to be disappointed I'd be pleasantly surprised, and I wasn't.
Batman was awesome. Wonder Woman was awesome. Side characters of the Justice League. What did you think of their origin videos? I thought those were like very B-roll footage. Very. Like, yes. They looked rank amateur.
And it almost felt shoehorned in.
Yeah. The Aquaman would have been cool, but I actually thought of, do you remember the Transformers, first Michael Bay film, they released trailers where the Mars rover, yeah, like rolls out on Mars and is just kind of going around randomly, and then it just gets stomped on by a giant robot like, yeah, that's what I wanted the Aquaman thing to be. But man, did Aquaman just like stand there looking awkwardly for 5 minutes before he actually used his trident to poke the submarine or whatever the fuck it was. Did you feel that way? Because I thought
I'm gonna stand here blinking at this for a little while.
I thought the eye flashing was cool, and then I expected him to dart out and just stab it. Because you can't literally get a facial recognition photo and then just be like, oh, I don't know who Aquaman is.
In a weird way, if you look at that scene and you replace him with the Little Mermaid. And that cavern he came out of, that's like the trove the Little Mermaid had all of her shit in.
What do you call them? Legs.
You know, the guy looks cool.
He does.
He looks the part.
But
it was B-roll.
It was just B-roll and just way B-roll. Too long. They should have cut it.
Yeah.
You know, flash your eyes and then... Because all these superheroes have footage of them.
Aquaman looked the coolest.
Yeah.
I am very concerned about the Flash and the effects that they used.
That was really weird.
And Cyborg...
He didn't just, like, punch the dude. He, like, electrocuted him and, like, yeah, power went out and, like, what the fuck?
It was like he did the action and then the environment had to catch up with him. You know? Yeah. Like, okay, you went so fast, you not only broke the sound barrier, but you created static electricity.
I guess.
You know? It took forever for that scene to end, and that was stupid. And then Cyborg...
We don't know
corniest.
What he looked like. He was very corny, but very again, corny. It was too long.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad, but we also don't know what he looks like. And then it was just sort of like, we saved this patient using magic glowing box number 6.
It's like DC doesn't understand the concept of an Easter egg.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, maybe they won't see this.
we better let it keep rolling and slow your dialogue really down.
Well, but they also have, like, the symbols on there. And, like, even me, who's like, oh, those are superhero symbols.
Yeah.
Oh, what does C stand for? Oh, Cyborg.
Yeah.
I caught it right away.
I had to think about C. But,
I did, too.
But Aquaman I got, Wonder Woman I got, and Flash, obviously.
On a side note, it would have been really fucking cool. So there was a show on HBO called
Game of Thrones.
No.
No, there is a show. Game of Thrones.
I know.
Awesome. It has tits and dragons.
Mark Wahlberg produced the show. Entourage.
Okay.
So the main person in that show is an actor.
Yeah.
And he gets movie roles. One of the movie roles he got was the lead in Aquaman. And they even put out fake Aquaman movie posters directed by James Cameron. And James Cameron was getting, like, thank you notes or, like, you know, this is a really cool project. I can't wait to see, like, everybody bought into it. It would have been cool, just in the fucking awesomeness of life, if they'd gotten that actor to play Aquaman.
I think Jason Momoa's the shit.
No, I'm not saying who they got was bad. I just...
Even though you look at him for like 5 minutes.
That would have been funny had they that gone that route. Because I thought the logo looked really similar to what they used in Entourage.
Well, it's an Atlantean A, bro. So, yeah, we hit all of those.
And I was like, oh, this the is why it's Dawn of Justice. Because otherwise, like...
The end of the movie, Bruce Wayne and Diana are clearly forming the Justice League.
And they're going to bone.
They're going to bone.
So hard, bro.
And Batman has this, like, really kind of, like, off-the-cuff speech about, oh, Diana, I'm sorry you were treated from humanity, but, like, we're not all that bad. And it's supposed to be really moving. You can
but
tell
it's actually depressing.
Really, it's kind of like, oh.
We're kind of shitty to each other. But then sometimes we're also kind of shitty to each other.
We have
and we should love each other.
We get better. We strive to be better. We have to, because if we don't, the world gets shittier. I mean, that's kind of the undertone.
My dream sequence could come true. But talking about dream sequences, I kind of didn't like the dark side dream sequences because it's too fucking unclear what they are. Granted, that's one of the things where it's like they hit a beat and kept rolling in a different direction.
Wouldn't it have been cool if, like, that whole dream sequence, like, when Superman came down, it was actually Bizarro Superman?
But the dream sequence where the Batman suit, like, kicks Bruce Wayne's ass and, like, turns into a giant bat and bites him in the neck, that was fucking awesome. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Yeah, when Martha's grave starts bleeding oil.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Like, that what took the me a minute.
There was just a huge bat that, like,
yeah,
bit. Again. And then he woke up next to a girl who we didn't even know.
Yeah, we don't care.
He doesn't care.
We're like, oh, okay,
but then Alfred bitches weirdly about him not having an heir, and hell, he could have lots of heirs.
Alfred is not from a lack of trying.
When he got nuked and Superman was up in the ionosphere shit, he looked like Bizarro Superman before he got healed.
See, that reminded me,
like, the sun. Like, I was like, what? So nuclear energy makes Superman look like a wasted zombie.
But I think they're referencing the Dark Knight Returns, which Batman and Superman fight, but it's after actually Superman gets nuked by Russians because Superman is fighting the Cold War for America.
I love the trailer to DC Universe Online.
Oh, yeah. That was
love that trailer. Shit. That whole sequence where the sun regenerates him and he opens up his eyes and his eyes go red, that's from that fucking video game. They just cut out the scene where he literally is gone in a frame, you know? That bothered me. Like, why couldn't you fucking do that?
Have him fly down. They didn't have him fly down because he didn't actually emerge. Like, they would have to be the next thing you see is Batman and Doomsday and then Superman comes in.
I love that trailer, though. That's a fucking great trailer.
Let's talk briefly, because the dirt above Superman's grave started floating, meaning that he's probably going to fly away, I guess?
Technically, let's assume he's probably...
there's another world destroyer, and it's coming to crush everything.
The world engine. Fire up the world engine.
The government will hang on to Zod's body for 3 years, but Superman dies... And they cover up the fact that they send it back to Smallville, Kansas.
Or Batman probably helped.
That for me was a show breaker.
Plus that general is pretty tight with Lois. Yeah, it was kind of weird.
It's just a weak point.
It did bug me that the closest they came to a teaser is a really unclear teaser. Is like the rocks start shaking on his grave.
Unnecessary too. Yeah. Everybody knows.
He just needs fucking sunlight and he's back.
Everybody that was in that movie theater was alive in the 90s.
But it does bug me. Okay, let's throw in some nerd world. Star Trek Wrath of Khan. They fucking killed Spock. They fucking killed him. That made people cry in the theater. Spock is dead. Spock has a funeral. Spock is not ever coming back, right? At the end of that film, there is zero chance of him coming back. It took an entire another movie to bring Spock back. an entire movie dedicated to bringing back a character to life.
Right.
In this, Superman's going to be walking around in the next movie.
Oh, yeah.
Easy. I feel like.
Easy.
Maybe the amount of time that Batman's origin story took. Unless they decide to do another Batman origin story for the next Justice League movie.
I will say this in defense of that, though, honey, because everybody was born in the 90s and everybody's heard Superman died, it was all doomsday, people know, oh, he's not really dead. Only the people who have not spent time, like, are complete comic book noobs, or have not paid attention to any of that stuff, or don't know how to use the internet.
It just bugs me because they killed.
Would that be a surprise for
Spock? No, they killed Kirk, right? I don't remember.
But I do feel.
But
like,
I don't.
But I do feel like they. I mean, I was surprised that they actually kept him dead at the end of this movie. Like, that was a surprise to me. I was like, oh wow, okay, we're gonna leave it there. All right, that. Wow, movie theater people. That's
kind of
cool.
Hinted on that too, but it's like. Like I said, the actor that plays the Superman could play a really good Superman. He's got the chops. I have no feeling for this Superman. Therefore, him walking around at the beginning of the next movie isn't going to bother. If people cared about him, you could make a whole movie about him coming back to life.
Right.
You know, that's the problem. People cared about Spock. No one gives a shit about this Superman.
And the way he died, too, in the fight, there was so much good fighting in this. The way he died, he attacked the villain, right?
All right.
And then got...
magically somehow not succumbing to the kryptonite.
Right, whatever. He
succumbed to the lasso of truth.
He did an offensive move which stabbed the villain very near the heart.
Yes.
All the villain does is respond by punching him in the heart. It really bugs me when heroes don't know how to fucking block a regular punch. Like... regular block.
Wax off, Danielson. Wax off.
Like, I don't know. The moment is... the moment of I get the moment of Superman stabbing him. I get that it needs to be pushed in further. But you're just going to stand there and be like, well, I have the staff. My other hand probably holding my balls, so I can't block this punch that I can see for miles. Batman's like... hey, he's telegraphing a right-handed punch.
With spiky knuckles.
Block your heart. It could hurt. I don't know. That bugged me. The whole fight sequences were awesome.
Yeah.
Punch, punch, kick, block, throw.
Especially that far out one where you just see Diana going back and forth, like, fight. Just holding her fucking own like a champ.
Yeah.
That was really good. Okay. It's late. On a scale, Bo, of 1 to 10 GTA motorcycle backflips, how do you rank this movie?
A flat, smooth road that goes in circles?
Okay. Kathleen, on a scale of 1 to 53 load swallows.
What?
How do you rate this movie?
A lady never tells.
Okay, on a scale of 1 to 7 Michael Bay Transformer films.
Oh.
Fuck. How do you rate this?
2.5 Twilights.
That should make the final cut.
All right. Good night, Bo.
Good night, lovers.
Good night, Kathleen.
Good night, guys.
Good night, Yoshi.
Good night, Moon.
All right, so this is the day after we all saw Batman versus Superman, the dawn of the Justices. And today, this lovely afternoon, Isaac and I are running errands. And Isaac was with us when we watched the movie last night. He was the Russian. And I thought I would ask him, now that I've had a chance to digest the film and you've had a chance to digest the film, what are your thoughts of Batman versus Superman? You can be spoilerish. It's fine.
Oh, okay. First off, as a film, it was very entertaining.
Uh-huh.
Worth watching. And let me start by saying I am a fan of the comics. The trailers suggested that this was going to follow Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns story, which I was very excited about. And so I felt like the movie departed a little bit from that story, but it was still entertaining. I don't feel like, even though it didn't exactly follow the comic book, definitely well worth watching, very entertaining. One thing I'll say, I guess having thought about it a little bit, I don't get the feeling or the sense that DC is doing the same with their superhero franchise as Marvel is. Marvel seems to be building this kind of big story arc over the course of several movies and TV shows together. Mm-hmm. And the DC stuff, there just doesn't seem to be the same...
The coherence
and tie-ins, right? So one of the things, spoiler, you can pause there. One of the things that we saw in this movie was just some brief clips of somebody tracking metahumans and like a brief clip of The Flash.
Yes.
For example. But it was obviously a different actor for The Flash than what we're seeing in The Flash TV show that's
very
been
different. Very
yeah.
different looking.
Enough that I was like, what? Is that even the same? If it were not for the very distinctive logo, I would not have known that that was The Flash, right? And that doesn't make or break it. It just doesn't give us as the audience the same sense of coherence that, oh yes, these are all different stories maybe set in the DC comic universe, but they're not the same actors playing the characters. I don't know. Do you feel like that detracts from the story in any way to you?
It's... For people who like the Flash TV show or the Supergirl TV show or even Gotham for that matter, I mourn for them because, yeah, they've basically said, yeah, we don't care about the TV continuity.
Yeah.
It's its own thing.
Yeah, whereas, you loved seeing The Arrow,
yeah.
You're not going to see a movie with that same actor as The Arrow. It doesn't right. look like.
Just have to tell me. I guess...
Back clip, sorry.
I don't know where that
cut
is.
That. Beep.
That's fine. So, Mark! So, what I said last night, I'll try not to be too repetitious here, and I still feel the same way, is like... The actor that played Batman, the actor that played Superman, the actress that plays Wonder Woman, the actress that plays Lois Lane, the actor that played Alfred.
Uh-huh.
These people can act these parts. Unfortunately, what they were given was shit. Like, I would love to see Ben Affleck do more Batman. He nailed it. I felt like his Alfred nailed it. I feel like Lois Lane, it's different than what I would ever thought of, but she's doing okay. Same with Wonder Woman. Awesome, really rocking it, and I would love to see more. Unfortunately, I feel like the source material that they were working from hindered everything. There were moments in the movie that were like, that's cool, but as a sum of its parts, I have no desire to see it again. Mm-hmm. I have no desire to expose children to this nightmare. And that's how I felt about it. I was reading this morning... You know, it's like Frank Miller's Batman, and I was reminded when I was reading this guy's review, it's like Frank Miller's Batman, Superman is more or less an older person, he's being controlled by the government tells him what to do, total to the core Boy Scout. Not my favorite version of Superman, but so much so that it's... You know, he's just doing what he's told, and because the government says to do it, it's good. And in a lot of the examples they show in the comic book, he is doing good. He's saving millions of lives. However, the government asks Superman to bring in Batman because he's kind of rogue.
Yeah.
And Superman doesn't question it. And that's where the conflict happens. Where in this movie, Superman is right. Batman is right. They can't be wrong. They come together in the end to be on the same side to fight a common good. But it's like... It's hard to focus on one protagonist because it's...
Well, and that common good doesn't really emerge until they're already into their own fight, right?
Yeah.
And then another threat appears that suddenly they band together, which we expected that from the beginning,
uh-huh.
I think. But I'll say one of the things that I find kind of disappointing about this version of Superman is his angst and his unsurety of himself and of what he should do in the capacity of right and wrong.
Right.
I think he has a clear sense of what he thinks is morally right. He thinks that Batman is a vigilante. Well, Clark Kent says, you know, here's a vigilante trampling on the civil rights of other people because of Batman's particular method of seeking justice.
Yeah.
I think that Superman feels like Batman shouldn't be above the law, and the rest of the world is questioning whether Superman should be above the law. He's not really asking that question of himself. He's just responding when he sees an emergency to save lives. He's not trying to set himself up to be a godlike figure, but other people are putting him in that position.
And I feel like we're seeing this version of Superman because of the lawsuit that resulted in the New 52.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, it drives me nuts, but DC won the lawsuit, and it's like they're too embarrassed to tuck tail and say, all right, we fucked up, we'll go back to the way things were good. You know, now we're stuck with this universe for however long they want to drive it into the ground. And it sucks. Because you and I will only be alive long enough to watch so many reboots, you know?
I understand the idea that, you know, approaching the story from the angle of Superman is human. He's been raised as a human, right? He has human emotions. And yes, there's going to be times that he's in conflict or conflict. Yeah. Some people might say that, right?
Conflict if you're a dick.
He's not a cyborg, right? He has feelings. And in many of the older comics where Superman was essentially infallible, he was a perfect Boy Scout. You never approached that angle of, does he ever feel conflicted about saving Lois Lane when there was an earthquake on the other side of the earth and maybe hundreds or thousands died. It's the third driveway here on the left.
Okay.
I think in this, we actually get to see that picture that at one point he actually says, I don't care what might have happened. The woman I love might have died, right? He explains that. I understand the emotional appeal of that, but at the same time, then it makes Superman all of a sudden much more of a, I guess an ambiguous character. Like, well, would Superman, you know, would he throw millions of lives under the bus if it meant saving one life that was important to him personally?
Right.
And it's a funny question because we're like, well, if you had superpowers, what would you be doing with it? Would you give up your own life and your own self-identity to wear out your life in the service of other people because you could? Do you feel a moral obligation to be a savior for as much of humanity as you can?
But old Superman, I think the answer to that is yes.
It was clear. And this new Superman just doesn't feel that way.
It doesn't feel that way. It's like unfortunately, I think the actor's name is Harvey Keitel.
Cavell.
I fucked up that name. I apologize if you're listening. You're not. But like,
tweet your complaints.
The guy has got the biggest shoes to fill. I mean, Christopher fucking Reeves is a hard. You know, there's been several good Batmans and a couple of shitty Batmans. But you know, it's just the one thing we all agreed on last night, though. Unfortunately, you weren't riding with us. Was Jesse Eisenberg, Lex Luthor, horrible.
Let's come back to that in a minute. We'll pause here for commercial break.
We're back from that commercial break.
Join us again. That was awesome.
Yes, I'll buy two.
I'll buy two. So the actor that played Lex Luthor, I feel like he did a good job. If the intention was to give off a vibe of a very insecure rich kid, quite possibly gay, which there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But it just seems like he was, like the idea, he didn't really come into his own as a character that would prove to be a real nemesis until the very end of the movie. Up until then, he was kind of a whiny kid pushing pawns around, politically or otherwise, with not real a lot of motivation. What was his goal in all of this? Was it he's just a spoiled rich kid who's dicking with other people's lives because he's bored? That's kind of the feeling I got out of it. As far as the acting itself, if that was what they were going for, he nailed it.
Lex Luthor, you know, again, this is not New 52 Lex Luthor. I don't know how much of that's fucked up with this. But Lex Luthor, as I know him, is a gentleman who doesn't want... He's not necessarily a bad guy, but his ends to his means make him bad. He doesn't necessarily hate Superman as much as he hates the fact that the people of Metropolis and the world worship him as an idol. You know, whereas, and the only way for him mentally to get past that is to prove that a man can beat a Superman. Okay? So whether that was Batman doing it, whether that was a creature he created doing it, or it was just him doing it.
Yeah.
You know, it was... I really got the sense at one point in there, and maybe they did put it in there, and I just haven't put the pieces together, but I sensed that there was, like, a ghost of Brainiac. Like, they had planted the seed for Brainiac in that film. And I that's a, yeah, a bad way to mention it, but I just feel like maybe I missed something, but I feel like there was something in there Brainiac related.
If there is, I think it's probably more coincidental, because again, it doesn't seem like DC's really into making multiple movies that really tie closely together. Like, oh, here's a hint that we planted four movies ago that if you were really watching, you'd have seen this coming, kind of idea.
That was,
if that happens, I think it'll be accidental.
That was one of our bitches. It's like, okay, so he pulls the directories from Lex's machines, and he finds
three or four files. Yeah.
Cyborg, Wonder Woman, Flash, and Aquaman.
Yep.
Like, that alone should have been an Easter egg. Like, that shouldn't have been front and center. And the video clips of that, it just felt so shoehorned in. It was like, DC's like, oh, nobody will see this Easter egg that we put right in the middle of the fucking film. It felt that way.
Yeah.
And...
So the character of Lex Luthor there, too, it's kind of a, you know, in a sense, a big role to fill as a villain, right? Because Lex Luthor should be a really clear-cut villain. My first Lex Luthor, right, was the one who played opposite Christopher Reeve. And I'm gonna get that actor's name wrong. You gotta help me out. But
he's a famous guy. I can't remember his fucking name. God, we suck at names.
Fuck me.
I blame this crisp Alaskan air.
So nice. The cool, refreshing, sprinkling rain that feels like pixie kisses on your skin.
Yeah. Thank God for that commercial, and I bought two of them.
So that guy, his Lex Luthor was very sure of himself, right? He was after some kind of global domination, whether it was economic or political. He knew what he wanted. He wanted to be the top dog. Mm-hmm. Kevin Spacey's Lex Luthor, he wanted... Gene Hackman, that's right.
Kevin Spacey was...
If you listen to Mr. Hackman, I apologize for getting your name wrong. You were fantastic.
Kevin Spacey impersonated Gene Hackman. And he did a fantastic job.
I thought Kevin Spacey's Luthor was good.
Yeah.
He was evil.
Yeah.
He was clearly evil, yeah, right? And he was not so much a megalomaniac who wanted to take over the world at that point. Maybe it's kind of history of their relationship, but he wanted more than anything to kill Superman, to prove that Superman could be killed, either for his own reasons or to show the world that they need not depend on a personage that he saw as a false savior. Now, we don't ever see, you know, is there a political reasoning behind that in Lex Luthor's mind? Or he just feels like mankind should have the faith in themselves to stand tall and not depend on somebody else. I'm not sure. But this Lex Luthor, there wasn't a clear sense of personal purpose until the very end. He just seemed like sort of a weak, spineless character to me.
But he was obviously had his fingers in everything. I mean, every scene with him, it was like, oh, he's dabbling in that, he's dabbling in this. Now, if I may, the congressional scene,
uh-huh,
with the explosion, did Kal-El hear the trigger of the explosion, turn his head, and then it blow up?
I don't think that he heard it. I think that he was so emotionally focused, right? He was under so much stress and tension. He came in there, he was focused on the senators before him, and it wasn't until Senator Finch, she's looking at something on her desk that gives her pause, and she suddenly comes to the realization that Lex Luthor has done something, and she looks at his seat, he's not in the room. And it, like, this dawning comprehension on her face. The camera cuts to the explosion beginning in one corner of the room. And
no. The camera cuts to Supes, who turns his head to the guy in the wheelchair. Then it blows up.
Yeah, and I wonder if that was because the Senator Finch looked over at him suddenly. I thought he was turning his head to look and to see that Lex Luthor was not there. Not the explosion itself. However, the scene that follows that, when he's standing alone in this room that's just a firestorm, obviously he's untouched. the look on his face, I thought in that moment they did a great job.
Back to your house.
We were going to drop the shit off.
Pausing. I think they did a great job of showing this angst on his face at having suddenly realized he's been duped. He's been set up, and he's in a room full of dead senators.
And what a waste.
And congresspersons.
Because the very next scene, it's like, we believe it was the guy in the wheelchair suicide bombing everything.
Right. And they were like, well, so was he in on it? That was the guy who was against Superman, who was calling Superman out to answer for having made him a cripple. And instead of anybody putting that together and going, well, somehow we think Superman was involved with this. Now, there were some people that were saying, if Superman knew and he didn't do anything to stop it, was he complicit here? But the anguish on his face at having realized not just that these people had died, I think he felt some anguish about that, but having realized that he failed to protect them or failed to notice what he might have noticed, I think it's a heavy burden to be Superman, right? And maybe that's kind of part of the idea that I think was definitely what the Man of Steel was trying to make us think about.
Yeah.
The scene where he's floating outside the atmosphere and he's hearing simultaneously radio responses and cries for help, and he's hearing distress of human beings all over the planet. Right, and the burden that he can interfere and save lives, but only in so many places at once. Right? Does he have to triage lives and decide which injuries or which disasters are the most severe?
And when does he take a break?
And when is he? So, but there was this conflict because we saw that in Man of Steel, right? And it was thought provoking. In this movie, we kind of get a little bit of that same flavor until in the middle of the fucking boss fight. He hears Lois Lane trapped underwater, thumping for help, and ignores the Kryptonian monster who's tearing apart the planet to go save Lois.
Yes.
And I would have thought, if anything, in that moment, I actually expected him to, like, shed a single tear and realize that if he doesn't stop Doomsday right now, millions will die, and he was going to have to let Lois die for the greater good. But we didn't see that. He turned and left the fight and leaves Batman and Wonder Woman, who admittedly are kind of holding their own in the moment, but he leaves them to go to this other fight, right? And then in the end, he does retrieve the weapon that ultimately is able to defeat Doomsday. Let's move on and talk about this Batman a little bit. Specifically, I loved the way they were really true to Frank Miller's artistic vision of Batman's souped-up super suit for fighting Superman.
Yeah.
Even down to the eyes and the power gauntlets, I thought they did fantastic on that aspect of it.
It was a piece of beauty. There, don't get me wrong, there are parts of this movie where I'm like, if I had just seen this scene, for example, you know, him saving Martha, that scene alone, I would have been like, that's a movie I want to see. Or, you know, to a lesser extent, the fight between him, the first real fight in the suit with Superman, where he's not necessarily trying to kill Superman, more or less see what his strengths and weaknesses are.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that whole fight was definitely a recon fight. That was not a real fight.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I wonder how many people thought, well, Batman's going all out and just not getting anywhere. I think he was testing Superman's limits.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was really fun to see. I don't know how else to say it other than the characters and the actors playing them did phenomenally. They just had shit to work with.
The writing was poor.
It wasn't. Yeah, no. Even there were times where the writing was even great. It's just as a whole, the whole thing together. Instead of it just being one. God damn it! I'm sorry. I'm repeating myself, guys. Instead of it being just one comic book story that they're trying to recreate, somebody up top decided, you know what's better than one, using one of the greatest stories ever written? Let's use five of
Let's
the greatest
stitch
stories.
Together several.
Stitch together five of them and see how awesome this piece of crap. Well, you've just stitched together the five best stories. So you're pretty much downhill from now.
And you can't give any of them the time that they really deserve to develop. So you end up with a patchwork quilt, right?
Right.
I agree with you on that. A couple of the pieces that were in there, you know, the fight choreography was incredible. Loved watching Batman kick many asses at once. I particularly liked at the end, which was directly out of the Frank Miller book where Batman holds up a fist with the glowing bat symbol, right, as a brand. And you're like, aha, he's actually, you know, this is sort of...
Isaac.
We'll pause here for another word from another sponsor.
We're back from that commercial break.
And it was awesome.
I need zero of that product.
Oh, yeah. Whatever that was. No, that was shite. Don't buy that.
I don't know why they sponsored us.
So one of the things that caught me here is you get some, again, spoilers. You get throughout this movie a couple of dream sequences of Batman's where you do get the impression, as cool a hero as Batman is, he has some mental stuff going on, right? I don't know if these are dreams and nightmares that have tortured him a long time or it's just recent. He has some neuroses, as one of the earlier Batman incarnations actually said, you know, in trying to defer attention. The man dresses as a giant bat, clearly has some problems. So you get the impression that Batman's got a little bit going on.
So it's 9:25, no. Hopefully.
Okay.
Mark, you have to cut a little bit of that.
Beep, motherfucker, beep!
So you get this impression that Batman's got, you know, maybe there's a little bit of instability there, right?
Sure.
But I also wondered if it was actually kind of part of it was Batman's intuition that in his dreams he understood more than his thinking mind did, in the sense that he was seeing scenes of a possible future in which stuff has definitely gone south, and he is having to try to prepare to fight a Kryptonian after the fact, and he's kind of behind the curve. And I think that's part of the reason that he felt inspired or motivated, that he needed to prepare a way to discover and prepare a way to fight a Kryptonian if he had to, right? As he says, if right. there's even if we believe there's even a 1% chance this man could be our enemy, we have to
considered an absolute certainty.
And his next line is, we have to destroy him. And I thought, well, that seems a little bit like we have to prepare and make sure that we can destroy him, prepare a deterrent, maybe.
By the way, the way you prepare to beat up Superman is you lug a tire around Wayne Manor.
Apparently all you need to work out to become Batman is a giant truck tire.
Yeah.
Hammer at it for a while and pull it, do pull-ups with it tied to your waist.
So let me ask you this. Batman's bat computer is decrypting the military-grade encryption of Lex Luthor's mainframe without a fucking password, which bothers me. What did you take from his dream sequence there?
During that particular, when he fell asleep,
Do you remember it was like somebody was coming through time?
Yeah.
To warn him?
Yeah, and so that too, it was, I thought based on the color scheme of the person who was like in a time portal talking to him,
yeah,
that it was Nightwing or somebody like that, you know, some future incarnation of the Batman ideal.
Yeah.
Did you get that too?
I know, at first I thought it was probably a Robin. Then I kind of shifted to maybe it's Nightwing. Bo believes it's the Flash.
Really?
Bo believes, because I guess there's a version of the Flash that can vibrate so fast he can actually go through time.
The TV version doesn't.
Doesn't? Well,
no, does.
Oh,
does.
I did not know
he
that.
He doesn't do it conscientiously. He's not aware of it until later, but he can do that, right?
Well, so this guy, that's what he thought.
Oh, yeah.
But it also looked like whoever this was actually in the bat armor to me.
Well, and that's kind of why I thought, like, Nightwing, right? So, but that character who's warning Batman in a dream sequence tells him Lois Lane is the key. Find Lois Lane. Does Batman act on that knowledge? Does he do anything with that intuition? No, he doesn't seek out Lois Lane. He doesn't even, as far as we can tell, do any kind of research if there's a possible connection between Superman and Lois Lane.
I think this is going to be in a future movie.
You think? Well,
think
obviously Lex Luthor had figured that connection out. Lex Luthor had figured out who Superman's alter identity was.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And Superman had figured out who Batman's alternate identity was. But you don't get the impression that Batman had figured that out about Superman, which kind of bugged me, because if anybody
at the beginning
the
of the
detective
fight,
extraordinaire, it should have been Batman.
At the beginning of the fight, Batman called him Clark.
I thought it was the other way around.
Negative.
Superman said Bruce.
Oh, yeah, you might be
right.
Yeah,
Superman said Bruce.
But he also said Clark.
We don't
at
have
some
to
point.
Do this. So, yeah, he may have. So it is kind of a washed over, right? If Batman had really figured it out, I wanted that to be a big reveal, like Superman would be stunned.
Yeah.
That, you know, Batman knows who he is. But no, it's like, well, all right. I will say the one thing that the departure, one of the things that I liked best about Frank Miller's Dark Knight book, in the end, spoilers if you haven't read it, well, shame on you, but in the end, although Batman really does a number on Superman, right, with his technology and his preparation and the power grid that he draws on in that book, Superman ultimately does defeat Bruce Wayne, breaks his ribs, shatters his armor with a blow, and essentially Batman is killed and buried. But at the very end of that book, as Clark Kent is walking away from Bruce Wayne's grave, he hears a heartbeat start again.
Yeah.
And there's kind of this little smile crosses his face, and he realizes that Bruce Wayne has actually feigned his own death and will continue either as the Batman himself or to train the next generation Batman. This movie kind of threw that out the window, which was, to me, one of the coolest parts of the Frank Miller story.
Yeah.
That got mulled under with the changes, and I was sad to see that go, because that was kind of a cool part of that story. Although they did sort of seem to imply that, you know, the reverse happened here, but Batman was not so much, like, aware that Superman was going to be resurrected.
I wonder if there's anybody that saw this movie that didn't see Superman's resurrection happening.
You know, maybe somebody who's never read the comics.
All right. For now, we'll call it a pause or a break or a thing. And thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for talking, Isaac.
Don't forget to spay and neuter your pets. Oh, wait, sorry. That's John Paul's line.
That's Jake Dalrymple.
Okay, stopping there.
Roger.